Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And today, Trev, we continue what we started yesterday. If you haven't listened to yesterday's pod, folks, go back and check it out. We had a really good time. It's fun stuff. We're going back and redrafting. You know, starting with the 2014 draft, we're redrafting past four classes, seeing how things pan out, especially the first rounds, seeing how things pan out in those first rounds, and how if we did a redraft type of process, how many things would be different. And so far, we haven't any crazy reaches. The only player we took yesterday, Trev, that wasn't in the first round at all that year was Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, Derek Carr. He was the first pick in the second round. So both quarterbacks we took were picked after the first, three quarterbacks, Bortles, Bridgewater, Manziel. How often does that happen where the fourth and fifth quarterbacks are better than the first three taken?
Yeah, I mean, you hope if you're a team at the top, you're hoping it's not too often. But, right. You know, injury with Bridgewater, you know, Bortles probably shouldn't have ever been taken that high. And then Johnny Manziel obviously has his own kind of unique path out into and then out of the NFL. And so it makes sense that the two more stable guys, the guys who are, you know, actually getting them, I'm sure the most amount of money at this point from this class are the ones that we're picking high.
Right. So Texans took in the redraft that we did yesterday, Texans took Khalil Mack. Rams took Aaron Donald at number 2 instead of number 13, where they actually drafted him. The Jaguars took Jimmy Garoppolo. The Bills took Derek Carr. The Raiders took Jadeveon Clowney. The Falcons took Jake Matthews. The Bucs ended up with OBJ. The Browns took Zach Martin, that offensive line. The Vikings took Mike Evans. The Lions took Taylor Lewan. And now that puts the Titans on the clock. And this is you, I believe, because I picked Taylor Lewan to the Lions, and their actual pick was Taylor Lewan for the Titans. So he comes off the board one spot ahead of him. Otherwise, we might have kept that one right where it was, because I think that that's got to be an A, right? I know that they give their tackles a lot of help in pass protection, but everything we've seen from Lewan so far, he's still been one of the better tackles, you know, top 8 tackle, left tackle in the NFL. And if you're getting that with the 11th overall pick, I feel like you got to be pretty happy, right?
Yeah, and they actually, you know, I'm looking at their roster now of what it was like at the time. They could still go for a tackle. I think there's definitely an option there. It's, you know, for the longest time, I never really loved the Titans roster. Like, it had some guys that I liked here and there, pieces on both sides of the ball, but it's like, I never felt like the Titans came together and had, like, a complete team at any point. So in 2014, right before this draft, their wide receivers were Nate Washington and Kendall Wright. They also had Justin Hunter.
Nate Washington hung on for so long.
Yeah.
Hearing that name again is funny.
Their quarterback was Jake Locker at the time.
Oh boy,
backup was stud. Charlie Whitehurst and Tyler Wilson. So it's not like they had a immediate backup there. Chris Johnson was still their running back. So
the goat.
He was, for a short period of time, goat. and then their defense. I'm looking at it now. Michael Griffin, Jason McCourty, Hakeem Ayers, Derek Morgan. These are some names that I like, but again, you know, it was just pieces to me. It didn't really come together. I guess kind of in the depths they had Kamarion Wimbley, Zach Brown, but Carl Klug's on here too. But I think offensive line's still going to be the pick if I were the Titans, because I think it was such a I think it was them at 12. I'm trying to look and I'm thinking it's either going to come between DeMarcus Lawrence or Morgan Moses.
It's interesting because I feel like Moses doesn't get enough respect. Like, he's pretty good, but I mean, he's only playing on the right side that I've seen in the NFL. But, you know, he's done a really good job there. You know, he's one of the better right tackles.
You still need a good right tackle.
Right, exactly. And the way the NFL is trending, that's still very important. Who are the tackles on this roster right now?
Let me look. It was on the other tab. They have Michael Ruse and Michael Orr.
So Ruse was really good, but he was getting toward the end of his career. I think we all know how things went with Orr. I think he lasted 1 year there, and they moved on from him.
Chance Warmack and Andy Levitre were their guards. So
it's kind of crazy to think about Morgan Moses as being like a top 15 pick in a redraft, but the importance of the position, how well he's played and developed. I know Washington's probably a big part of that, but it's hard to say that that would be a bad pick. I mean, obviously there's good interior offensive linemen on the board too, but.
If you think that Taylor Lewan, which I think we both do, if you think that Taylor Lewan was a good pick for the Titans when it was at the time, and looking back, then you've got to think that Morgan Moses would be a good pick for them. I know it's still, like, obviously not flashy at all, but just looking at their roster, you know, if you believe they made a decision, the right decision back then getting Lewan, I've got to think that Moses is going to be the right decision here.
Yeah, it still fills a pretty big need for them, no doubt about it. So you going Morgan Moses?
Yeah, why not? Pulling the trigger? I like the Taylor Lewan thought process, so I'll give it to him there.
Yeah. And again, obviously, like we said, this was an A for the Titans in real life. So, you know, the redraft kind of screws them, and that's kind of how it works in some ways, you know. Although I think they still end up with a really good player in Morgan Moses. But, you know, if a redraft happened, I feel like they could potentially go a different way and go in, you know, for the interior offensive line or something like that. But, yeah, ending up with Moses still helps them, I think. The Giants, you look at their situation, you know, this was really rough interior offensive line at this point. Rough offensive line just in general. Justin Pugh was actually playing right tackle at this point. Will Beatty was on the left side. Things started to go downhill for him quickly after this. Obviously, Victor Cruz and the injuries caught up there. He had an impressive start, but that was a big reason why Odell factored in here. I like the receivers that are left on the board. You know, I don't know that I'd give him Brandon Cooks or Sammy Watkins or Allen Robinson or anybody like that right here. You know, the Giants, at this point, they had Rashad Jennings in their backfield, and he was decent. I think Eli was, you know, they were still very hopeful that he could, you know, be the guy for a long period of time. You know, you look at the defensive line, and that's probably where it really stands out to me. You know, you have Jason Pierre-Paul. And then there really wasn't another pass rusher. They hoped DeMontre Moore would be that guy. He really wasn't. The interior defensive line also a little pretty weak. Linebacker spot. You know, I think if you look at who the Giants actually drafted with OBJ, obviously that pick's an A. But with him off the board, and obviously he would be off the board in a redraft by the time that the 12th pick rolled around, I feel like they need a pass rusher. And I think DeMarcus Lawrence in this defense opposite Jason Pierre-Paul would just be so deadly, you know. And I know we've kind of said, you know, if Lawrence had done what he did last year, like even one other year, he probably goes top five in this redraft, you know. And I even said yesterday that I think his season last season was better than any Clowney's had, even though Clowney's been better for longer and, you know, kind of continued that steady growth pattern, and where Lawrence just had that one breakout huge year. And so I'm curious to see how he does this next season, but I do think his skill continues to translate. I think he's the real deal if he can stay healthy. Now that's going to be the big thing, but I'm going with DeMarcus Lawrence to the Giants. I just think those two off the edge, man, when Pierre-Paul was fully healthy, whew, that's a dangerous duo.
Yeah, I think DeMarcus Lawrence has got to go pretty high in this kind of redraft just because of what he showed us certainly last year. So the Rams are on the clock next. The way that it
This was where they out, took Aaron Donald, by the way.
Right. The way that it turned out in real life is that they took Greg Robinson with number two overall. Mm-hmm. And they took Aaron Donald with, what is this, 12, 13?
13, yeah.
Yeah, 13, which obviously getting Aaron Donald at number 13 is the steal of the century. But they have, we talked about it a little bit on last show, you know, their roster, a lot like the Titans, is kind of just scattered. They have, I think this is Zach Stacy coming off of his good year, is it, right?
Did he have a good year? I forgot all about that.
Yeah, no, Zach Stacy had a good year. Like, I thought that Zach Stacy had, like, one good year, and that's why people were kind of buying into Zach Stacy being an okay running back, and then he obviously
was kinda... It was the next year they took Todd Gurley after this.
I believe so.
Zach Stacy, I'm looking him up. Go ahead. Continue on with what you were saying.
Okay. His stats might be terrible. I don't know.
Well.
Sam Bradford was their quarterback, so I don't really see them doing anything there.
No, you're right.
Their offensive line...
You're right about Stacy.
He did, didn't he?
973 yards in 2013, yeah. And yeah. Seven touchdowns. He only averaged 3.9 yards a carry, but yeah, I mean, for a rookie, that's pretty good.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so they could go offensive line. There's a good interior offensive line class, but I can't stand this wide receiver group, and I'm actually going to give them wide receiver. So
Sammy. Sammy, do what they did years later. They got Sammy. Then they let him go.
No, I'm not giving him Sammy.
You're a Sammy hater.
I'm not a Sammy hater.
He's going to ball out this year. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
I'm giving him Allen Robinson.
Wow. That's...
I think Allen Robinson's the. I think Allen Robinson's the next best wide receiver left. I think Allen Robinson's really, really good, and I think that, you know, in a redraft, the Rams coming away with Aaron Donald and Allen Robinson, that's a homer to me. So
I hope Mitch Trubisky's good so bad, because I want to see what Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson can do in Chicago. I think you're right. I think you might be right that Allen Robinson really has, you know, like, I think his skill set's pretty similar to Devonta Adams. But he might have been more polished coming out, and, you know, I think now they'll be pretty comparable. But both guys, I think, are studs, and yeah, I think Robinson can be really nice in Chicago. But you give him to the Rams, so now the Rams have Aaron Donald and Allen Robinson instead of Aaron Donald and Greg Robinson. I think Rams fans would have been a lot
that's
happier
better,
with the
that's
Hall.
That's a better Robinson, a good Robinson trade.
Much better Robinson. Kyle Fuller was who the Bears took. I'm giving this pick a B. You know, I think he played well early, then poorly, then got hurt and missed a year, and then really well last year. Really well last year. I think he's better than a C. You know, if we were...
Oh, yeah. No. He's not getting a C. No way. Yeah. No.
I mean, the Packers, what? How many times do you see... Was he a restricted free agent, or they tendered him or something like that? They tendered him, yeah. He was. They slapped the transition tag on him or something like that. Yeah, and the Packers, you don't see that often where a team goes out and they're like, they sign him to the offer sheet. And then the... Of course, the Bears matched, which they should have. So I like this pick of Kyle Fuller here. You know, I don't have any issue with this pick, I think. You can obviously argue that the Bears should go in another direction, I think. You can argue, I should say, that there's more talented players perhaps on the board than what Kyle Fuller will end up being. I think injuries are something you have to consider for a lot of those qualifications, though. I mean, you know, even in Kyle Fuller's situation, he was banged up at some points, you know, in his career. Obviously, he missed, 2 years ago. So you have to think about that with him. Bradley Roby's been probably better than Fuller over the years, but he's also been, like, the third guy in Denver, and he's not had to draw the toughest matchups at all those points. So, you know, I don't know that I would say that I'm ready to say that he's for sure better than Kyle Fuller. And it is weird, isn't it, how... We're in, 2018, and there's still some level of uncertainty about how the 2014 draft will eventually play out in the NFL. I mean, Lawrence could be a top five guy in this class, or, you know, he could go back to where he was his first 3 years. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, same thing. You've only seen him in a handful of games at this point. He could be going top five in a redraft, or next year we could look back at this and be like, wow, what did we do? Like, why do we take him that high? You know, so it is funny how much uncertainty there still is with a lot of these guys, and it makes you realize how long the process is in terms of playing out to see how these guys are good or not. But, you know, I like Kyle Fuller. I think that this is probably a little bit high for him. You know, if you look at who else the Bears had at this point on their roster, you know, that they could have potentially – I mean, this offensive line was still pretty solid at that point. You know, so I don't know that they would have went there. Obviously, tackle could have been a Jermon Bushrod and Jordan Mills were their tackles. Their interior line was pretty solid, but – I think they could have upgraded those spots, but at this point we've run the tackle group pretty good. I mean, funny fact is that we have a spreadsheet that we're working from, and Charles Leno is actually on this spreadsheet, and the Bears took him in the seventh round, and he's been their left tackle ever since. And you, how many franchise left tackles get found in the seventh round, dude? The fact that he ended up
being, like none.
Yeah, the fact that he ended up being better than Greg Robinson is pretty funny, I think. But, you know, and we could legitimately give him to the Bears here, and I don't know, you know, I mean, it would be a little bit high, but I think it would still be understandable given the importance of the position. But, you know, this is a pretty good group, top to bottom. I think, that, you know, their roster obviously had some holes, but, you know, at this point, they still had Lance Briggs and DJ Williams, and they felt good about their linebackers, and the pass rush group is kind of depleted at this point. Otherwise, I might go there. So I'm just going to stick with Kyle Fuller here. I think that he makes a lot of sense for the Bears. It's still a fit that makes sense. I think that he can be as good, if not better, than Bradley Roby. And I would take Verrett because he's the best when he's healthy, but he's just never healthy. And I have some reservations about taking him this high, given the fact that he's just been so banged up throughout his career.
Do you want to double up and do the Steelers? Because Steelers are next, like I did with the Bucks yesterday. You want me to take the Steelers?
I can take the Steelers. Man, like, it's this is really where it gets tough.
Shazier was such a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Shazier was a great pick, and it took him a little while, but you know, he was such an impact player over the last 2 years. Obviously, you take Shazier again. To me, Shazier's been more impactful, for sure more impactful than Anthony Barr, and more impactful than C.J. Mosley in terms of splash plays and things like that. Maybe not as totally consistent as Mosley, but more impactful. I mean, Talvin Smith's the guy in a redraft that you look at and say, well, with Shazier's, given Shazier's injury, and we're kind of doing this with Bridgewater and Dom Easley too, and maybe even Verrett if we decide to a degree, but, you know, given Shazier's injury and the way that the fact that injuries kind of take those three guys off the table in the first round right now, you know, in a redraft, I feel like Talvin Smith makes easily the most sense, right? I mean, he's been more impactful in terms of splash plays and what he can create than Z.J. Mosley, definitely than Anthony Barr. And he's, you know, I think he could fit into what Ryan Shazier did perfectly for the Steelers. I mean, if I could handpick one guy away from another team, he'd be pretty high on that list, you know, to give to the Steelers. So in a redraft, I think Talvin Smith makes a ton of sense here.
I'm looking at the Cowboys. We got the Cowboys on the clock next. And
obviously, they get an A, right? Zach
this
Martin.
This is where they took Zach Martin.
How good was this run of picks, dude? Taylor Lewan, OBJ, Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller, if he continues what he did last year, Shazier, Zach Martin, and then C.J. Mosley to the Ravens.
No, it was that's why the 2014 draft, man, a lot of people love it.
Especially in the teens. Yeah. Good class.
No, I'm looking at this Cowboys roster back in 2014, and they had some of the pieces for that offensive line. Mm-hmm. They had Tyron Smith, Ronald Leary, Travis Frederick, Doug Free was the right tackle. Tony Romo was still the quarterback. DeMarco Murray was still the running back. They had Dez. They had Terrence Williams.
Pretty good team.
Yeah, it really was. But then on the defensive side of the ball, their starting D-line was George Selby, Henry Melton, Nick Hayden, and Jeremy Mincy. That's
why they took Lawrence in round two.
Right. I mean, it makes sense why DeMarcus Lawrence was the guy that they wanted. And I'm actually going to give them I'm going to give them D-Ford because I know that he has been more of a – I think he's been more of a 3-4 edge guy from him playing in Kansas City. But I still think that Dee Ford is quite a good pass rusher. And when I look at this Dallas Cowboys team, especially at that point, they really needed a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. And if DeMarcus Lawrence was here, he'd be the guy for sure. But I think Dee Ford is you've got to take him here. He's the next guy off the board. He helps the Cowboys so much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, if Ford's healthy, he's a double-digit sack guy. And I don't think a lot of people realize that, but, you know, he was for real good the last year he was healthy. You know, he played behind Tom Bahaly for a while, then finally got the chance to play over him and was way more productive and impactful than Ali. What you're losing in his situation is run defense. He's not a good run defender. I mean, I'm not even going to try and make it sound like he's okay. He's bad. So you got to live with that. But, again, today's NFL, I think you do for the impact that he makes behind the line of scrimmage, you know, especially as a pass rusher. So, you know, I think that pick makes sense for sure. Yeah, there are definitely more talented players on the board, but I get where you're coming from with that one. This is, again, it seems kind of boring, but, you know, how are the Ravens not taking C.J. Mosley here, you know? They clearly are, right? I mean, he's been a total stud for them. They haven't had to worry about anything with him. I mean, he's been on the field. He's been healthy. He's been productive. You know, I said, you know, other guys, maybe Shazier and Talvin Smith, more splash plays. That's probably true, but it's only because those are arguably two of the most splash play guys in the entire league. You know, it's not because Mosley doesn't make those plays. He's been impactful across the board. He's about as stud a pick at this point in the draft, what, 17 overall that you can get. So, man, I'd come away super happy with the Ravens if in a redraft you still ended up with Mosley, because I think he's, you know, and especially when you look at their roster, this offensive line was really good. You know, at this point, Ray Rice was still here. There was a ton different. Steve Smith was still playing well.
Ray Rice was there?
Yeah, this might have been the beginning of the end. I can't remember. But yeah, and they had a good front defensively. Chris Canty, Haloti Ngata, Brandon Williams. I mean, you know, even off the edge, Doomerville and Suggs were still productive. McPhee was waiting in the wings. You know, they just needed the third inside linebackers at this point were Albert McClellan, Darryl Smith, who was obviously really good, but getting near the end of his career, Arthur Brown, and Josh Bynes. So, I mean, this was a big need for them at linebacker. So it just makes complete sense across the board, basically, to take Mosley again for the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. Mosley was the right pick at the time. He's the right pick now. Jets are up. The Jets took
Calvin Pryor.
Ugh. He's not the pick.
The first bad one, right, we've had. I mean, yuck. Yeah. What, yeah. This pick get an F? I thought he was okay there at times, but
I would give it a D.
A D. But, I mean, ultimately it flopped. Either way, it's bad.
Right. I mean, it's below a C, however you want to look at it. Their defense, this Jets roster, you know, as are most Jets rosters, a little odd. But
some low-key slander thrown in there.
You know, just been bad for a while. I don't know what you want from
me. I mean,
accurate. Their quarterback right now is Geno Smith and Michael Vick. So,
That is brutal.
Bilal Powell was the starting running back. Chris Ivory was right behind him at this time. They went defense, and when you look at their defense, they got Muhammad Wilkerson, they got Sheldon Richardson, they got Quentin Coples. They thought that was going to be the start of something great in that front seven. David Harris is behind him. DeMario Davis, Calvin Pace. Those are their linebackers as well. So they thought they were pretty good on the front seven, so they ended up going secondary, and there's a reason why they went secondary. I mean, their secondary before the draft was D. Milner on one side, DeJuan Landry, Antonio Allen, and then Darren Walls. Like,
Rest in peace. Not great.
So yeah. I actually do agree that secondary was the biggest need on this team, but I'm not giving them Calvin Pryor. I'm going to give them Jason Verrett. And I'm going to give them Jason Verrett because
still believing. Verrett,
like we have talked about, is – probably, I mean, if you would ask me, he's the best cornerback from this class. It's just a guy who is injured a lot. I'm such a big Jason Verrett fan. I just really hope that he, you know, health is on his side, fortune is on his side in that sense, because this is a great football player. And I think that certainly in any kind of redraft, if you believe that he can be capable of staying healthy in any way, there is no kind of stretch that he would go this high. And so I think that at the time, though you could look at obviously quarterback and know that things didn't really work out on that end for the Jets, and there are a couple other offensive pieces as well that you can look at and realize that they didn't really work long-term. If 2014, if you're looking at this roster the way that it is, secondary is still the glaring need. Jason Verrett's the best secondary player on the board, even though he's been banged up quite a bit here and there in hindsight. But I'm going to give him to him there. I think it works out for him.
You're taking the risk. I don't know if I would have taken with Verrett at this point. I love him too, though. I love his game. I just wish he could stay on the field. If he does this season, I'll be so happy. But because they really need him, that Chargers could be so good, man. They need him to stay on the field. He and Hayward, oh my gosh. I just hope that he can stay healthy. Dolphins are up on the clock. They took Juwan James, which was one of the more criticized picks in the first round at the time.
Yeah, it was.
I give it a C. I think he's been very solid there. Definitely has not been lower than that. You have a top 15 right tackle. There is a lot of value in that. Were there better players on the board? Yeah, I think there probably were. Were there better tackles on the board? I'm not sure, you know? I mean, Charles Leno is the only one I really would put in that conversation. He's played on the left side mostly. At this point, they had Brandon Albert. They wanted James to play on the right side. I think James played on the right side of Tennessee, if I recall correctly. I could be wrong about that. It's hard to remember at this point. But I think that – so I would give that pick a C at least. I mean, you could argue with me that if we were using the I would probably say B- or something like that. I think he's been very solid there and continued to get better. He's had some weak moments. He's got some weaknesses. He's definitely not perfect. But, you know, I think that he definitely helps their team, and he would be a starter on a lot of rosters across the league. So there's some value in that. I wouldn't take him there in a redraft, though, even though he's still on the board. You look at the Dolphins, it's pretty easy in 2014. I mean, this is their offensive line, dude. Brandon Albert at left tackle, Mike Pouncey at center. Their guards were Nate Garner and Dallas Thomas, who is terrible. They had no depth at all at either spot, so it wasn't like any future starter was waiting in the wings, nothing. At right tackle, I don't even know who Jason Weaver is. He was their right tackle. So no wonder they drafted Juwan James. They obviously had a huge need there. But they could have gone with the interior offensive line as well. That's the direction I'm going. Here's the interior offensive linemen from this class that are still on the board. This is with Zach Martin off the board because he's a total stud, obviously. But think about Martin, and then think about Joel Bitonio from the Browns when he's healthy, stud. Gabe Jackson from the Raiders, total stud. Andrew Norwell went undrafted. Undrafted. Stud. Trey Turner, but the Panthers, stud. Weston Richburg just got signed by the 49ers, stud, when he's healthy. Brandon Linder for the Jaguars got his big contract last year, stud. Matt Paradis for the Broncos. Last year was a little bit of a rockier year. I think he was banged up some. But the year before that, one of the best centers in the league. Justin Britt and Jack Muhort, too, good players, you know, and probably not first-round guys, but, you know, good players, good starters. Then Laurent Duvernay-Tardif from the Chiefs, he's in this class as well. So, yeah, lot of good interior offensive line talent that we haven't even tapped into, so I'd expect a run on those guys. I'm taking Norwell here. I think he's the best of the bunch. Undrafted guy. You know, I think Gabe Jackson's really good, too, so I kind of went back and forth on those guys. I also like Trey Turner. Those are three maulers, really, in the terms of their mentality. But that, you know, I like the centers too. You know, I think they could potentially play guard, but Norwell, true left guard. I think that he's the best of the bunch right now. Just can do a lot of really good things in pass protection, but versatility in the run game, man, he can pull, he can run multiple concepts. He can lead his own power and stuff like that. And I really like what he gives to the team. So I'm going Norwell, and an undrafted guy goes in the first round of our redraft. He goes number 19 to the Miami Dolphins.
If the board were to shape up like this for the Saints in a redraft, they would sprint to the podium with this card. Sprint, John.
Sprint.
Do you know who I'm taking for him?
I don't.
They took Brandon Cooks.
Okay? Right. He's still on the board.
And if Anthony Barr was still available, they would sprint to the podium to go get him.
Would they? What's their corner situation? Bradley Roby still on the board? No. What about LaMarcus Joyner?
No.
Stephon Tuitt?
They would take Anthony Barr in a heartbeat. Victor Butler, David Hawthorne, Curtis Lofton, Kyle Knox.
Oh, my. That is a horrendous group. They've had bad linebackers forever.
Nope. They would sprint to the podium for Anthony Barr.
Okay. I think that he obviously helps him. I do worry a little bit what would Barr be without Zimmer. I think that he's helped make him a really good player where I'm not sure how, you know, good he'd be in other spots. This is where it gets kind of tough because I think Shazier is definitely better than Anthony Barr. But again, it's like.
You can't pick Shazier.
I mean, obviously, it's just the way that the whole thing, this whole thing that we're doing is hindsight based, and we can't, you know, have hindsight, look at it through hindsight and ignore necessary information to make these decisions.
Right.
Because that's the whole point of what we're doing. So, obviously, Shazier, he probably would go 15 to the Steelers again. But, Barr, I can get on board with it. You know, I think that, who's their corners? Who's their DBs?
They're not good. I can't ruin a good tradition, you know, the Saints not having good corners. Except now, you know, they actually do.
Now they ruined it themselves.
Yeah, for real. Their starting corners are Corey White and Keenan Lewis.
Well, Keenan was good at this point, maybe. I think, was this before the injuries destroyed him? He had some really good years there. Then he got just wrecked by injuries.
Their safeties are Jarris Bird and Kenny Vaccaro anyways. They're picking Anthony Barr, dude. This isn't even a debate.
All right. What about Brandon Cooks? What do you give that pick? What do you think? I still think he was highly impactful there. I at least give it a B. I know everybody's like, oh, he was just in New Orleans. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. Brandon Cooks catches hate, and I don't think he's like a top five receiver. Probably not even he's probably just outside the top 10, but he's freaking good. he's been productive every year of his career. He's probably going to be productive again with the Rams. Yeah, he's been with Sean Payton and Josh McDaniels, and now he's going to be with Sean McVay. So, but I mean, he only had 550 yards receiving, but after that, I mean, over 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. Last 2 years has averaged more than 15 yards a catch. Makes big plays, explosive plays, gets yards after the catch. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what do people really want? I mean, you're talking about a sub 5'10", 189-pound wide receiver. How many of those guys are as good as Cooks is? I mean,
right.
You got to accept the fact that there's going to be some limitations to his game, so. Packers took Ha Ha Clinton Dix. I don't know. I'm not crazy about that pick. I'm probably biased recently, though. I don't know how much Packers you watched last year, but I mean, Clinton Dix tweeted it himself the other day. He's like, big down year for me. I'm going to bounce back. You know, if it were a year ago, I'd probably say, okay, you know, I can get on board with that pick. You know, I mean, Clinton Dix, it's definitely a need for them. They had Morgan Burnett. They didn't have free safety. Their corner situation was decent at this point. Again, it's they didn't realize what they had in Casey Hayward, but Sam Shields, Tremont Williams, you know, at this point, this is before things went downhill. So looking at it through their lens that they were at the time, I think that, you know, those were all spots that they felt pretty comfortable in, and free safety made a lot of sense for them. Eddie Lacy was still doing his thing. He was 1 year into the career at this point, productive, still the guy. Rodgers, obviously, the receiving core was good, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, but you know, I just wonder what happens if you add like a vertical deep threat element to that offense. You know, at this point, it was Bulaga, and Bakhtiari was about to step in and start, move Bulaga to the right side. TJ Lang, JC Treader, Josh Sitton. I mean, the offensive line is about as good as it gets. Otherwise, I'd give him one of those guys, because right now, based on who's on our board here, that's probably the best position group left in terms of quality talent still being available. Man, I just look at this roster and I say, what if you put Brandon Cooks on the outside with Jordy Nelson? Because after that, they didn't have any depth at this point. I know they end up drafting Devontae Adams, but you know they didn't have any depth. Jared Boykin, Miles White, those were their next guys.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, this is a redraft, so we don't know they're going to draft Adams at this point. And I just think Cooks as a vertical threat, you know, it took Adams a while, you know, and I think that that's fine. It ended up being fine for them and working out because Adams is really good now. But, you know, it took him a while. He was inconsistent. He struggled. They wanted to run him out of town at some point because he dropped passes. And I think Cooks comes in, makes an immediate impact as a vertical threat down the field. So, you know, I would give them Cooks here probably in a redraft. I think the rest of the roster is pretty solid. You could obviously go with Clinton Dix. I don't think that would be a problem. You could probably go with Bradley Roby. I don't think that would be a problem. But to me, Cooks makes a lot of sense for what they like to do. I know they like bigger receivers, but the vertical threat that he gives you, I think that that can do some nice things for your offense. And I give the Clinton Dix pick, I give it a B. You know, I give it a B right now. If he plays like he did last year, I'll drop that grade for sure, and he'll be gone. But right now, I think it's been a B. I think he's been pretty good, and then last year was a down year that could bring him into that C territory, I think. But, you know, I think give him another year, see if he can find himself again, bounce back to what he was, because he was pretty consistently solid, you know, over the past couple years before this past season. So this will be a big year for him, though, and I think he knows that. He's kind of said that to the media and seeing what way his career kind of heads, so... There you go. Our picks today were, what did we start with? Titans took Morgan Moses. The Giants took DeMarcus Lawrence. The Rams took Allen Robinson. The Bears stuck with Kyle Fuller. The Steelers went with Telvin Smith. The Cowboys went with Dee Ford. The Ravens went with C.J. Mosley. The Jets went with Jason Verrett. Dolphins went with Andrew Norwell. Saints went with Anthony Barr. Packers went with Brandon Cooks. Here's the best players we got available, folks, and you can decide whether you like these players or not, but... That quarterback, we still got Bortles and Bridgewater on the board. No running backs have gone off the board yet. Devontae Freeman, easily the best one in this class. He and Carlos Hyde still available. Now, wide receiver, Devontae Adams, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry. Tackle, Charles Leno, Juwan James. Interior offensive line, Joel Bitonio, Gabe Jackson, Trey Turner, Weston Richburg, Brandon Linder, Matt Paradis. I think a bunch of those guys will come off the board probably by the end of the first round here in tomorrow's episode. And then Kerry Hyder, maybe edge rusher. I mean, the edge rusher group really dried up. I don't know. I mean, Hyder even missed last season. I'm not ready to bank on him yet. Stephon Tuitt, Timmy Jernigan for the interior D-line. Linebacker, Kirksey Buchanan. Cornerback, Bradley Roby. Maybe Darquez Denard. He played pretty decently. Safety, LaMarcus Joyner. And still Clinton Dix. So no safeties have gone off the board yet either. So... Still a lot of talent left on the board. Tomorrow, the Browns, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Cardinals, the Panthers, the Patriots, the 49ers, the Broncos, and the Vikings. We finish up the first round redraft of the 2014 class. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.